Begin the current daf Masechet the Shabbos daf Kuf Chof Hey. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf and the previous Mishnah, which spoke about not only can we move specific kelim, but if we can move that vessel, we can move the shivikim, the broken piece of that vessel, also if it at least has some form of usage. And there's a machlokes regarding exactly how much of a usage, but that it has to have purpose, that it can still be used in the sense as a kli. So our Gemara says Amar Bar Hamduri Amar Shmuel. Regarding the different strands, the strings that come out of a mat, that is, they separated from an original piece of a mat, now you just have those pieces. You're allowed to move those strands, those strings that were separated from the mat. And my time, what's the reason? It's not a vessel, it's just the strings that came out of it. Because Amar Rava, Bahamduri Asbrali, that Bahamduri explained to me the principle behind this, is because Machtzelis Gufalamai Chazam. Why is it that a mat is not mukta? What's a mat fit for that we consider it a vessel? L'chsuyi be'afrit, to cover earth with it. And that is either because the earth that's, if you have designated earth to cover excrement with, so therefore you have that earth that's prepared and then you use the mat to cover that earth, or is that you don't want the earth from the ground to come up, so you put a mat down, because at least in those days of the Gemara that they had their floors were made out of earth, so you put the mats down to keep the earth down so that it shouldn't come up and make the ear congested. So that's what it's purposeful by having a mat. These strands that were separated from the mat are also still fit to cover dirt, and therefore it still has the same usage as what a mat is, and therefore although now it's not a vessel, it's just some random strands and strings that were taken out of the mat, it's still considered a kli, as we said in the previous mission of Shivri Kalim, that if it has the similar purpose, it's considered a kli, because also you could cover dirt with these strands, and therefore it's just like the mat that it came from. Similar on the same topic, Amar B'Zeira Marav, Shiori Praizmis, regarding the leftover pieces of a talus, of a cloak, Osla Taltim Shabbos, that is forbidden to move on Shabbos. And that is because, although a cloak has purpose, here this small little piece that was cut off from it, that does not have a purpose. That's different than the case we just said. However, Amar Abaye, Abaye qualifies this statement. It says, B'matlon Yishein Ben Gimel Al Gimel. That's talking about by a piece of cloth that was separated from the big talus that doesn't have, it's not 3x3. The Loichazen, Loilanim, Loilashim, which is not fit, not for poor people and not for wealthy people. However, if it would be larger than that, then it would be considered, at least it's fit for Aniyim, then it wouldn't be Muktzah. But here, where it's not even 3x3, we're going to say that it's Muktzah. On this topic, Tana Rabbanu learned the Braisa. Shivri Tanu Yashin, regarding the broken pieces of an old oven. What does an old oven mean? It means to say that it was already heated up once before, it was already used, and therefore the earthenware that the oven is made out of becomes hard, and it's fit for its malacha, for what it's meant to be used for. And therefore, harehen kekol hakelim anitala mechatzar. Now the broken pieces from the oven, since now they became hardened, so even the broken pieces are still useful, and therefore they're like old vessels that can be moved around in the chatzar, divrei meir. Meir says that the broken pieces of the old oven, of the used oven, is considered like a regular kli. Rabbi Yehuda Omer and the Tanur, Yehuda says no, they cannot be moved. And the Gemara later is going to explain what's the understanding, what are they arguing about, and what are the reasonings behind the machlokes. So the Braisa continues, Heid Rabbi Yisim Mishim Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, he said testimony in the name of Lozman Yaakov, Al Shivri Tanu Yashin, Shenetom Shabbos, that the broken pieces of an old oven, that they are allowed to be moved. And also, moreover, even regarding the covering of the oven, it doesn't need a handle. Even without a handle, you're allowed to move the oven. And this is a machlikis in the Mishnah on the coming dafim, that there is a mandoma that says that it needs a handle. So he's saying testimony that not only did he say regarding the broken pieces that that's allowed to be moved, but even and regarding the covering that it, and the oven itself, that it doesn't need to have a handle for it to be moved. Now the Gemara asks, b'maykamifkli, what is this machlokes that we mentioned before regarding between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda regarding the broken pieces of an old oven? Amar Abaye, b'isin me'ein malacha, referring to that this broken piece from the oven that was already heated up, it was already used before, and therefore the pieces are hard, that it's fit to do a semblance of a malacha with it. For example, it could be used for something else to cover the opening of a barrel. V'ein isin me'ein malachton, but it does not make a semblance of its previous malacha, which was to bake with. That is, an oven is used to bake. And that's the purposefulness of this kli. Now, this broken piece still has purposefulness. It can be used as a kli, but not in what it used to be used, because it's not an oven, it's just a broken piece. So you can cover a barrel with it, but you can't use it for what it was used for before, which was cooking, which was baking. And kamifically, that is what they're arguing, as the Gemara explains, V'az Rabbi Yehuda L'tamei, V'remei tamei, they're both going l'shitasim, according to their opinions, which are mentioned in our Mishnah, that your mayor said, that you don't need to have me'ein malach, and it doesn't have to be similar to what it was used for before, as long as it's still fit for somewhat of malach, and therefore we could consider it kli in any sense of the manner, so then it's not going to be muktzah, and it could be used, whereas the Behuda is going to hold on, no, although it can be used for something, for it to be considered still a kli, it has to be used for what it was used before, and that's not in this case, because it cannot be used for baking anymore, and therefore it's going to be muktzah, and you can't move it. And this is the Gemara asked, Masik v'la Rava. Rava asked on this interpretation. If that's really what their machlikas is regarding the broken piece of an old oven, instead of saying such a specific case of arguing regarding the broken pieces of an oven, let them argue about the broken pieces of any vessel. Because you're telling me this is based on their old machlikas regarding any vessel, if it has to be main malach done, has to have the work that it was originally used for, or for any malacha. Now, for that manner, why do you have to pick a specific case of an oven? Pick any vessel, say a general term, which will say a much broader, comprehensive explanation of their machlekes. Elam Rava, Rava says it's a different case that they're talking about. B'shivri da haitana kamivri, they're arguing regarding the broken pieces of the oven that I'm going to tell you in a moment, which is the Mishnah is going to bring, that there the oven was not totally fixed yet. It wasn't prepared yet from the beginning. And it broke, and that is where they have the machlekes. As the Gemara brings it down, as we learned in the Mishnah in Caleb. And what's important to understand is that their ovens were made like large pots. And these pots didn't have a bottom to them. And they would place it on the ground, and they would connect it to the ground with cement, with earth, and that would make it very thick there, and that should maintain the heat that's there. And that's what's called always in Chazal, tefela. It's a type of like what would be considered the plastering of this pot to the ground, which would then consider it into oven. And that would reach all the way to the ground. And because that would be able to maintain the heat from the oven there, that would plaster it there, and that would be the oven. Now, if it was put on top of a pit or on top of a cistern, which is similar to a pit, just rather the pit is dug into the ground and the cistern is a built item, and then they put a stone there between the walls of the pit and the walls of the oven to stick it in, to wedge it in, that the oven shouldn't fall and that it should be able to stay there in the airspace, that is the case that this Mishnah is going to be speaking about, and that is where the application of the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is going to be, as the Mishnah says. Nosnu al pi habor or al pi hados. Now again, as we explained, they would generally put on the ground, but let's say we'd put on the pit, and that's where they would make the fire. So you put the oven on top of a pit or on top of a cistern. V'nosn sham oven, then you have to put a stone there just to be able to wedge it in, because the walls of the oven were not exactly custom tailor-made to the size of the walls of the pit. So you have to put a stone there to wedge it in. If you heat it up on the bottom of the pit, and gets heated up on top, so then tummy, yes, then the oven will be considered an oven, a kli, and therefore will be makabel tuma. And that is, Rabbi Huda says that if the walls on top are close to the walls of the pit, that you don't have to put in between the walls of the pit and the walls of the oven only a small little stone, and it's not such a recognizable ear space between the walls of the oven and the walls of the pit that it would prevent the heat of the oven to go straight up, and rather some of it would be escaping out through the gap in the walls. So there we're going to say that the walls of the pit will assist in maintaining the heat, and therefore we consider it as one, and therefore we would consider it as a valid oven. And also, moreover, that the bottom of the oven is close to the bottom of the pit. And that is, again, if you're heating up, that's what his words on the Mishnah are, that if you heat up on the bottom, that you're going to make the fire there on the bottom of the pit, that the heat will go up into the oven, and therefore it's going to heat it up. Or what we're talking about is that the oven is in the airspace of the pit, and the heat is going up through the walls. That is because, well, either what we're talking about is that the walls are narrow on the bottom and wide on the top, so therefore the oven itself can be wedged into the thing, or the pit is wide on the bottom and narrow on the top. Either way, what we're talking about over here, the fundamental principle that Rabbi Huda is trying to say, is that there's not going to be a major gap. And if you heat up on the bottom, it will go up to the top because they're close by. There's no major gaps over here, again, either because of the construction of the pit or the construction of the oven, that at a trapezoid, it's coming down on an angle. And therefore, if that's the case, he says, then it's going to be tamei, because then we view it as a valid oven. However, imlav, rather, it was heated up like other ovens from inside of it. Then it's going to be tar, as the Gemara later is going to explain, because what we need over here, as the Pasuk is going to tell us, for something to be lacking breaking. And that is, the Pasuk says that if you have an oven that became tamei, the Pasuk tells us that the way to that it's going to become tamei is if it gets smashed, it gets broken. Now, what that means to say is that for it to be tamei, to be a valid oven, to become mekabel tamei, it has to be that it's close to be something considered that it's connected to the ground. Because if it's not close to the ground, so then you cannot consider this demolishing the oven, because then that won't be a fulfillment of the pasuk of tanda v'kiraim yutatz, that to undo the validity of that taner, of the oven, to make it ois, to make it a non-taner, is that to make it broken, to make it, so for it to become mekabel tamei, it has to be something that is connected that could be then dismantled. And the terminology of nesitza, which the pasuk talks about, is only applies to something that's built connected. Because when it's not connected, it's called shavira, breaking. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's not like in this type of construction, that we see it really connected with the walls of the pit, that it's close by and there's no major gaps, so then we could consider it connected to the ground. Oh, connected to the ground, then it can be mekabel tamei. If not, if it's like a regular oven, now there is a large gap here that we're talking about and it's not close by, so then he's going to say, if it's not connecting one with the other, so then we view the oven separate from the bar. If you view it separate from the bar, it's not connected, then it's not the taner of the pasuk for it to be mekabel tamei, and therefore it's going to be tar. And that, v'chacham aymrim, hayil v'husik mekal makam tamei, it's not true. Since it's getting heated, in whatever form or fashion, it will be mekabel tamei, it's a valid taner, and therefore it's mekabel tamei, it doesn't have to be considered connected to the ground. Now the Gemara has b'maikim, what is their machlik, is what's it based on, where they're coming from, that it has to be connected to the ground or not. So the Gemara says, b'haikra, it's in the same pasuk in Vayikra, that it says, taner v'kiraim yutatz, that an oven or a stove, that it will be broken, dismantled, Tameim heim v'tameim yulechem, that they will be tamei, and they should be tamei, they should be richly and pure for you. On this, the Gemara says, Yehuda Saver, mechusa nesitza tamei, that you, what you see from the pasuk is, that to purify it, is if it gets broken, nasitz, again, broken that from something that's connected to the ground. Now that obviously is saying that if it's lacking nesitza, if it's not having this dismantling, then it's tamei. But she'ein mechusa nesitza tar, but if it's not lacking dismantling from something being connected to the ground, it's tar. And therefore the case of what we're talking about, when it's not considered wedged in and close to the walls of the pit, so then we don't view it as connected to the ground. If it's not connected to the ground, it's not lacking nesitza. It's not lacking dismantling from being connected to the ground, because it was never connected to the ground. So then it's going to be tar. Rabban serving, no. Temeim yu lachem mikal makim. We have a redundancy in the pasuk over here, because it already says temeim heim. Then it goes again, repeats it again, temeim yu lachem, coming to tell you that even if it's not fully prepared in the sense of being connected to the ground, still it will be considered tamei, and therefore we argue and you may say that it will be mekabel tamei. And that's the Gemara asks, but Rabban and Nami, because of yutas, what are they going to do with Rabbi Yehuda's Raya? Lachari makes a lot of sense. It says that it has to be yutas, which we said is a terminology of breaking from something that's connected to the ground, which says that only then will it be tamei, and to be broken, then it becomes tar. But if it was never connected, then it shouldn't be mekabel tamei. And that the Gemara says, hahu le'idach gizem. To the contrary, it's coming to tell us, according to the Chum, the exact opposite. And that is, when it says in the pasuk yutatz, it's not coming to teach us a leniency and to say that if you cannot fulfill nesitza with it, a dismantling, like for example this case, which is not built and it's not connected to the ground, and then therefore we view it as itself intrinsically nasutz, that it should be tar, because the taner, it can't be, because he's saying that the pasuk says a redundancy of a temeim yulechem as a ribuy, as adding. And therefore, it cannot be saying that type of case will be tar, because that's what the redundancy is telling you, that it will be tamei. Rather, what's coming to teach us a chumra, stringency, and that is that you shouldn't say that all ovens that are made kelchasan and are connected to the ground, you would think that a regular oven that is connected to the ground, that there should be like houses, and it should be like the karka, like the ground. Since it's attached to the ground, it should not be mekabel tamei. Even your classic oven that's attached, because batim and things that are connected to the ground are generally not mekabel tamei. So therefore, we would think that a regular oven, the one that's connected to the ground, should not be mekabel tamei, as the Gemara says. The solkadar dechemina, I would have thought to say, kiven the chabri ba'ara kugufa da'ara dami, that since it's attached to the ground, as classically in halacha, that's the way it is, that it should have the status as the earth itself, and earth is not mekabel tamei. Kamash Malon, that's what the pasuk is teaching with the word yutatz, that even though it applies to it a terminology of nesitza, in other words, that it's attached to the ground, still it's tamei. But definitely, if it's lacking nesitza, in other words, if it's like a regular vessel that's not attached to the ground, for sure it's going to be mekabel tamei. To the contrary, it's not teaching you leniency, it's teaching you chumra, stringency, to tell you that it had, of course, a regular kli is mekabel tumah. But I would have thought when the regular taner, which is the one that's generally attached to the ground, that should not be mekabel tumah because things that are mechubah lekarka are kekarka dami. If it's attached to the ground, it should have its status like an earth and not be mekabel tumah. That's what we're saying, that even if it applies yutatz, that it could be dismantled. If it's not dismantled, if it's attached, it still will be mekabel tumah. But ve'idach, nami hoksiv tamei mulechem, regarding Rabbi Yehuda, what do they do with the redundancy that the Chacham bring down, that it repeats it again, tamei mulechem, to say that even another case is going to be mekabel tumah, which the Chacham say it's even tumah when it's not attached to the ground. What does he do with it if he says that if it's not attached, it's going to be tar? And that the Gemara says, ahikad Rabbi Yehuda mishmol. He uses it for the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda mishmol. Dem Rabbi Yehuda mishmol, Machloikis behesek rishon. This whole machloikis we had regarding the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham was only by the first time of the oven being heated up, and that is, it was never heated up before. And this is the first heating that they have this argument, because the first heating is always what conveys the status of a kli onto something. As the Mishnah Maseches Kelim in Perek Hey says that ezu gemar malach, that what is considered the completion of an object, of an item, of a kli, it's when you heat it up that you could have baked in it sufganin, some type of donuts. And that is where Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says that here it's not fit to make it a kli if it's not attached to the ground. And that is where he argues. However, and this is what it comes to tell you, that the pasuk is including when it says to meimu lechem is avo behesik sheni, but regarding the second time it's beating heated up, and that is originally it was made like a regular oven, as Rabbi Yehuda says, the regular status of an oven is that it's attached to the ground or to a thick stone, and there it was heated up and it became a vessel, because he agrees like that. But then they took it from there and they put it on top of a pit. And here is where it became Tameh. Here Yehuda agrees that is what the redundancy, the ribui of Tameh Mulechem is coming to teach you, that afila tole b'tzaver of a gamel, that even if it's hanging from the neck of a camel, in other words, it's totally not attached to the ground, it's hanging from the camel's neck, even there, unless if you split it up, that you take the oven and you cut it in half, the way the tahara of a taner is, that you have to break even the charsa, you have to break the whole earthenware part of the oven. However, it does not become tar from just taking it complete from the place where it was attached to the ground. And then you take it and it's detached now. That is what the extra ribui is coming to tell you of repeating this, of the tumah. It says in the pasuk, two times, tameim yulechem. That redundancy is not coming to teach you by the first heating of the oven that it's detached. That attribute says no. I say that to be an oven, it has to be yutatz, it has to be something that has the application, the possibility of dismantling it, that it has to be connected to the ground. Although you tell me from the redundancy, that's telling something else, as Rabbi Yehuda had said that their whole machloikas was only regarding the first heating, but the second heating, again, it was already heated and created into a taner by being attached the first time. And then it was taken apart, again, not taken apart piece by piece, because that Rabbi Yehuda would agree is matar time, but rather complete oven was taken, and that's not attached to the ground anymore, and now it's hanging from a camel's neck. Yes, in such a case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that is the ribui of Tamei Mulechem, that it's going to be Tamei, in spite of the fact that it's not attached to the ground, because the first time it was already made into a taner, now it's a taner even if it's detached. So Amar Ula, but Ula comments on this, and he says, V'hesek rishon l'rabbanon, and the first heating, according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, that they say from the ribui of the pasuk, again, from this redundancy of Tamei Mulechem, that even if the heat is not so great in the sense of that it's not attached to the ground, as we spoke about the structure, how Rabbi Yehuda says that the walls have to be very close and no gap, and still it's mekabel tumah. So don't say that only if it was placed on top of a pit, as we had constructed the case that they were speaking about, that it's on top of a pit, but just there's gaps and it's not so close to the floor of the pit, and that only there they say that no, even according to the Rabbanon and the first heating, afila talib tzavar gamal, there even they hold, even if it's hanging from a camel's neck and there was heated for the first time, it's going to be mekabel tumah. And the only reason why they spoke about the first time, even that it's not attached on top of a pit, was just because that was the case they were arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, and that Rabbi Yehuda would agree on the second heating. But the Rabbanan say even on the first time, even if it's hanging from the camel's neck, still it's going to mekabel tumah from tamei mulechem. It doesn't have to be attached at all, ever, in any form or fashion, not even to be on top of a pit. And that completes the explanation of Rav's opinion that he had argued on Abai, that Abai had said, what is this machlokes between Rav and Yehud regarding the broken piece of an old oven? So Abai said that was their classic machlokes regarding if a broken piece has to be fit for any malacha or specifically for the malacha that was generally used for. To which Rav had asked, said, what do you mean, for that case, for that man, why do you have to pick an oven? Pick any vessel. Just say a general concept which would apply to Shivri Kalim Ba'alma. So Rav argued and he said, there's still my specific case which is what we brought this Mishnah Kalim for, to say that it's the broken pieces of an oven that was never fully heated yet, it was heated by the first time, and that is where you have the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon regarding that this exact case of that it was never attached to the ground and was being heated for the first time. Now, in truth, that Rabbi Yehuda says that that is never considered an oven at all. And to which brings us to the next question of the Gemara, Maskvel Rav Ashi. Therefore, Rav Ashi asks on this explanation of Rava to say that this is machlokes between a man and Yehuda regarding the pieces of an old oven that, again, they were heated for the first time, not attached to the ground. So, ihachi, if that's what they're arguing about, ademifigli b'shibri taner, livligi b'taner gufa, instead of arguing about the broken pieces of such an oven, to say that, do we view this as a valid vessel, argue in the oven itself, because you just told me that As the Gemara says, Hashta Tana Gufal Rabbi Yehuda Lavamana, if the oven itself, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not considered a kli, because he says the Tana has to be yutats, that it could be broken, which means, say, broken from being attached to the ground. And this oven was, on even the first time it was heated, not attached to the ground. So therefore, why should we argue about the broken piece of it? If the oven itself is not considered a kli, Shavar Mibaya, would I have a Havamina, do I have to tell you that the broken pieces are not considered a kli? And therefore, that cannot be what they're arguing about, because they're talking about specifically the broken piece of such an oven. If it was the machlokes of what you're referring to, of that Mishnah Kalim, they should be arguing about the oven itself. Such an oven that wasn't broken, but it was heated the first time, not attached to the ground. And that Rebbe says, that's not an oven. The whole oven is not a kli. And the Rabban say, it is an oven. So therefore, we come to the third explanation of this machlokes between Rebbe Yehud and Rebbe Meir. Elam Rav Ashi lo'olam kedamar mikar. Truth is, it was as we originally assessed this machlokes that it's referring to as Abaye said, regarding something, the broken piece that can do a semblance of a malacha, but it cannot do this specifically the malacha that was originally done. And we're talking about broken pieces of a regular oven, not like this case of this Mishnah and Kalim is talking about, that it was never heated fully, it was never became a full-fledged oven. Oh, but regarding the question that Rav had asked on Abaye, that why do we speak about an oven then? Let's argue about any broken pieces of any keli, because that is the machlokes that we find on Mishnah, that they argue about this in regards to respect to all vessels. That is what he comes to explain, that we needed to tell you specifically this oven, because we're talking about a broken piece of an oven that it does somewhat of an semblance of what it originally had done, which was baking. For example, as Rav Ashi explains, Uba'isa Maisa Tapka, that the broken piece of this oven does some form of baking, as these tiles that they used to bake on. That is, they would bake on, they would heat up these tiles and bake on them. So too, these broken pieces, they're very wide. Now, however, there are differences. Although it is me'in malachton in a sense that you could bake on them, however, it doesn't have an inside to heat it up from inside the oven, as an oven is enclosed with all its walls and its ceiling. Rather, here you have to heat up from the outside, as they would heat up these tiles and then put stuff on top of these tiles and bake on them. And not because Rav Meir needs Me'in Malachtan, because he holds that it doesn't have to be a semblance of its original malacha. He holds it could be doing any purpose, even covering a jug. Rather, because he's coming to argue on Rav Yehuda, and he says as follows, as the Gemara explains, Rav Meir ledvarv Rav Yehuda kamar. Rav Meir was coming to say, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and that's why we spoke about specifically this case of an oven, he was trying to use that as leverage and say, even according to you, Rav Yehuda, you should agree to me, as he says, Lididi, according to me, Ramey says, as we say in our Mishnah, that even if it does any form of any malacha, it's going to be considered kli. And I don't need it to do anything with baking. It could be used as a covering of any kli. El didach, but according to your opinion, that you hold it has to be in malachta, and it has to have some semblance of its original usage. But oidli miha de kahai gavna malachtehu, but at least agree to me in this case of the broken piece of an oven, that it fit for its original malacha, because you can use it as these tiles that they would bake on it, and they would put they would heat up from the bottom and then put stuff on it, so it is a functioning like an oven, and therefore agree to me even that you agree, say it has to be made malachtan, that this is made malachtan, and therefore it should be mekabotan and it should not be considered muktzah. On that, Rabbi Yehuda says loy dami, there it cannot be comparable. And that is, there's still differences. It's not considered memalachten because hasam over there by a regular oven has seken mibifnim. You heat up the oven from the inside and then you bake stuff inside. Hacha has seken mibachutz here by the tiles when the broken pieces, you have to heat it up outside. So again, that's not memalachten. It's a different type of a baking. And moreover, hasam over there by a complete oven, ma'umid, the way you bake stuff is that when the items are standing in the oven, and that is the bread, the dough, they would slab it onto the walls of the oven, and it would be standing there. And it wouldn't be just lying down on the bottom of the oven, like these tiles which they lay down on the width of these broken pieces. As the Gemara says, here the broken pieces, the dough, whatever you're baking, is not standing up on the walls, which there they would put it onto the oven walls, it would stick there. Here it's lying down. So these two differences say that it's not mei malachten, although they're both baking. Rabbi Yehuda says that I agree to you, Rabbi. You're trying to tell me that I should agree over here, but it's not true. They're still different, and therefore it's not mei malachten, and therefore it will be muktzeh, and it's not considered clear. Then the Gemara concludes this discussion by quoting from the Braisa, where we had this machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda, that the Braisa said, "Hey, Rabbi Yisim Mishum Les Ben Yaakov, Al Shivri Tanu Yashin Shenitol B'Shabbos." He said that testimony that broken piece of an old oven are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, they're not muktzeh. And moreover, Al Kisuyev Shein Tzarech Besyad. Another halacha he said that regarding the covering of the ovens, that it doesn't need a handle for it to be moved. It's not considered muktzeh even without a handle. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, "Commandment Al Talinon Ha'idna." Who do we hold like that today we find everyone, they carry the coverings of the ovens of this place of Masa Machasya, which they don't have a handle to it, and therefore whose opinion are we following? And that is, they had an oven because the opening is on the top of the oven, so there's a covering that the heat should not escape over there. And after that's after they put in the bread on the oven wall, so then they covered. So these coverings, they didn't have handles, and still people would move it to be able to take the bread out. On that, the Gemara says, "Come on, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov." That's exactly as we find in the Braisa, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the coverings of the ovens do not need handles for it to be considered a vessel, and therefore it's considered a kli and not muktzah, even without handles. And that's why today, in Masa Machasya, we go ahead and we move it. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this prayerik of the halachas of muktzah. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'evin should be kiruah regarding the stone in." A pumpkin, a garda, a hard type of a shell of a vegetable. That what they would do is that they would hollow it out, and they would use it as some type of a vessel, and it would fill up. They would be able to fill it up with water to draw water with it. Now, since this whole shell of the pumpkin or the garda is very light. So therefore, it doesn't draw water, rather it would just float on the top. And now you have to be able to get it to go down to the pit to be able to draw it up. So what they would do is they would put a stone inside of it to weigh it down. So now this stone that's in this kiri, that's in this gourd, this pumpkin, if you'll fill up water with it, and the stone will not fall out because it's attached very well to the opening of that. And therefore, it would give it a status of a kli. So mimalimba, then you're allowed to fill up with that guard, with the pumpkin, and that is because we view it as a kli, and the fact that the stone is there doesn't make it any worse, because to the contrary, we view the stone as part of that vessel that we fashion out of it as this new cup, to be able to, this pitcher to draw water from it, and the proof of it is that it doesn't float away when you go ahead and you put it down. Vimlav, however, if not, then we're going to say, in other words, if it's not going to stay down, rather you put it in, but it's going to float up when you push it down into the pit, then we view it as a regular stone, and therefore imam alambash. Therefore, now you can't use this whole new utensil you created. You can't even move the pumpkin itself, because now what it is that the pumpkin. This guard is a base. It's what's called a buses to the stone that it's carrying. And therefore, not only can you not move the stone because that's muktzah, because we don't view it as part of the kli because it doesn't, it's not attached and it floats up the second you put it into the pit, into the well to draw up the water, but now you can't even move the vessel that you fashion because that's a base to something that's muktzah, and that's the halacha of basas l'dava asa, that you can't move it. Continue on to Amud Beis. Similarly, zimoy regarding a branch of a vine, shikushur b'tafeach, which is attached to a jug, and that they would use to draw water from the pit or from the spring. Similar halacha, memalim baba Shabbos, you're allowed to fill up with that on Shabbos because again, now we view this zmeira, this branch of the vine, we view it as part of the vessel because now it's being what's being used to be able to let it down and to be pulling it up. And therefore we consider it kli, and therefore you can move it on Shabbos. Another halacha, pkak hachaloin, regarding this item that was used to close the window. It's the thing that closes the window. So Rabbi Elazar Omer bezmanshu kasher betole, at the time that it's attached and it's hanging, that this pkak is hanging, it's not being schlepped on the ground, and that is the rope that it's attached to doesn't reach that far down, then peking, but you can use this this closer to close the window, because we still view it as attached to the window. Vimlav ain't peking, but if not, rather it's hanging down to the ground, then we're not allowed to use it to close the window, because that looks like that you're completing, that you're adding to the building, because we don't view it anymore if it's still attached and it's hanging. We view it, we see it as an addendum to it, as part of it. And therefore, when we put it back in to close the window, that's okay. But if we see it not hanging, rather it's on the floor, it's dragging on the floor, then it would seem like you're taking a new item and adding it to the building, because you're contributing to now to the building by using it to close the window. So therefore, he says that case would be usher to close the window. But either way, you can use that to close the window, whether it's hanging or it's not hanging. If it's on the floor, you can use it to close the window. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the pshat in this machlokes. So the Gemara brings, we learned over there in the Mishnah, later on in this Masechta, Evan shal pi achabes, regarding if there's a stone on top of a barrel. And what happens is you have to take wine from the barrel. So what do? You have something that's mukta in your way, and you want to get to the wine. So mata al tzida v'inafelas. You turn the barrel on the side, and then the stone falls off by itself. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rabba, Amar B'yechna. Loi shana, we didn't learn this halacha in that Mishnah, that it's mutter in some cases to even move the barrel, not even the case that we just spoke about, that moving the barrel to its side and having the stone fall off. There are certain cases you're actually allowed to move the barrel from where it is, pick it up, move it somewhere else, and with the stone on top of it, as we learn over there, that if it's between other barrels, you're afraid to like turn over the barrel to have the stone fall off, because we're afraid that it might fall on other barrels and break the barrels that are there. So therefore, we said you're allowed to pick it up and then move it on its side over there where you bring it to, and then it's going to fall off. So he says, we did not make that permission of actually picking up the barrel with the stone on it. Rabbi says, that's only where you forgot the stone on it. In other words, unintentionally, you didn't put it down bedavka right before Shabbos. Say, oh, you know what? Where am I going to put the stone? Hey, I'm going to put on this barrel. I'm leaving it here for Shabbos. Rather, no, you forgot about it. But if you specifically, with intent, put down the stone before Shabbos, saying, this is where I'm going to leave it over here. I don't know where to put it. I'm afraid it's going to ruin other things. Let's leave it on top of this barrel. And then Shabbos say, oh, I need to get the wine. Then it becomes a base, this barrel, to davar aser, to the stone. And therefore, then you wouldn't be able to pick up the barrel to go ahead and move it somewhere else to then tilt it to be able to have the stone fall off, because the barrel itself becomes mukta because it's a base for something that's forbidden. That's Rabbi's interpretation. Rav Yosef Omer Basim Rav Yechanan, his explanation in the name of Rav Yechanan, this day they both argue about what Rav Yechanan said. He says, Leishanu, we didn't learn this, and that is, he's coming to say that Rabbi Yochanan was saying a leniency, not a chumrah. We didn't learn that you have to tilt the barrel, and that you can't actually pick up the stone itself straight out and pick it up. That is what Rabbi Yochanan was saying as ele b'shecher, only if you forgot that you did not, with intent, put on the stone before Shabbos, and that is to make it a kli, part of the barrel. Avemaniach nasa, but if you placed it before Shabbos, then the stone becomes kisulachavos. Rather, becomes a covering to the barrel, and then you could uncover it straight out and take the stone off. So they're both saying the same words, that we didn't say this only when you forgot. But if it was placed there, that's different. They're both saying it, but on different applications. Rabbi says it as a chumrah, that regarding this hetter of being able to move the barrel is only when you forgot it. But if you put it down with intent from before Shabbos, then it becomes a base for davar asim. And then Rabbi Yosef says it as a leniency in the name of Rabbi Asi, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that he was saying that this, that you're not allowed to move the actual stone, and you just have to tilt it in its place, that was only if you forgot it. So then tilting is okay. However, if you intentionally put it down, that is, you wanted to make it as a covering for the barrel, then on Shabbos, it's already part of the vessel, and therefore you could go ahead and pick it up and move the stone itself. So now each one says that, from our Mishnah, it seems to be a challenge on their opinion. Amar Rabbi. We asked on our interpretation of what we had said regarding that if you placed it, then the rock does not become a kli. Rather, there it's going to be even worse. When you did it with intent, it's going to become a basis, a davar aser. It's going to make even the whole barrel aser. Because we learned in our Mishnah, ha'evin should be kirur. Regarding this stone that we said that's in the hollowed out pumpkin, we said, if you could fill up with this pumpkin from the filling it up in the well, and the stone's not going to fall out, mimalimba, then you could fill up with that pumpkin, hollowed out pumpkin. So therefore, Rabbi says, you see that the stone becomes a kli. So therefore, it seems like the way Rabbi Yosef's interpretation was, that to the contrary, by putting the stone with intent on it before Shabbos, not only does it not make it worse, that now you can't even pick up the barrel to put it somewhere else to then tilt it, but rather it even becomes part of the kli. And therefore, you should be able to even pick up the stone itself, like Rabbi Yosef says. And that, he says, no, it's not difficult, on my opinion. It's not a question. Hasam kivin dahodke there, as we explained, is because when you attached it very well, you tied it down to the hollowed out pumpkin. So shavya daifin, so therefore you gave it the status of a wall. It's like part and parcel of the vessel. However, over here, it's a different case. When I was talking about, you just placed the stone on top of a barrel. That doesn't give a status of a barrel, even if you wanted it to keep it there. And therefore, it not only that it doesn't make it part of the vessel, but it even makes everything worse. Then now it's becoming, the barrel's becoming a bus or some base, ladava asa. Similarly, Rabbi Yosef said, that we asked on our interpretation from the Seifa of our Mishnah. Because our Seifa of our Mishnah says, Imlav, if this rock that was put into the hollowed out pumpkin is not going to stay there, it's going to float up when you put it down into the well, then Amimalimba, then we said that you're not allowed to fill up with it. And that is that we don't say that it becomes a part of the vessel by just placing it down over there. And if it's, Rabbi Yosef is saying, it's difficult according to my interpretation that I said, by just placing the stone on top of the barrel, it becomes part of the barrel and becomes considered a kisui, a covering for the barrel. And that he says, Wallahi, and it's not difficult to me from the Mishnah. Because Hasam over there in the Mishnah is Kivin the Lohotka, since you didn't attach it very well. And that is, it now it's not fit to fill up with that hollowed out pumpkin because it's going to fall out. And you didn't attach it well. So therefore, Batuli Batla, you negated it from the status of being a vessel. In other words, you revealed in your das that you didn't consider it significant as part of it, because if you really wanted it to be part of it, you would have attached it well. So therefore, by not doing that, by default, you're showing that you don't want it to be part of the kli. However, regarding covering a barrel, by just placing it on top, already gives it the status of a kli, because it fulfills its purpose by just being there, by being a covering. Therefore, I don't have to attach it well. Whereas over there, when we said that if you don't attach it well, and just putting it there is not going to be, is because, to the contrary, by not attaching it, you're showing that you don't want it to be part of the kli, because you know it's going to float up to the top. And that's why over there it's not considered. But by my case, it would be considered kli, and therefore each one explains his interpretation. It's not difficult from our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, b'maykim ifkli, what are they arguing about? Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, and in their respective opinions, why do they argue if you have to do a full-fledged action to make it part of the kli, or if it's just enough to put it on top, and by just putting it on top, it already becomes part of the kli? And that the Gemara says, Mar Sover Be'inam Maisam, the Rabbi held that no, you have to do a complete action for it to be considered part of the vessel. You have to, by just putting it on, that's not going to make it not muktza, the stone, anymore, and to the contrary, it's making it worse. And if you want to make it part of the barrel, then you would have to fix it and straighten it out and make it into a intentful, a purposeful covering. You need an actual maisa. But Rabbi Yosef holds that no, you don't need a complete action, as Taisa explains. You can have any action whatsoever, just putting it on top will already make it considered a covering. And the Gemara says of Adul Tamayu that they go l'shitasim according to their opinion, that is Rabba who said in the name of Rabami, and Rabbi Yisrael who said in the name of Rabasi, they in their interpretations of Rabbi Yochanan, again, one saying l'chkula, one saying l'chumra, and again, the way we're explaining the fundamental principle is that do you need a complete action into create this into part of the vessel or not? That is, according to their opinion, as we find elsewhere. The Chiyasra of Dimir Reb Chanina, Ma'amrilan Samse Om Reb Zerim Reb Chanina, one time Rebbe went to a certain place. Umotza Nadvach Shalavon, they found a row of stones, and there were stones that were stacked up one onto the other, and they were separated. They were considered muktzah because they were there stacked up for building purposes. So, but he wanted to be able to use it on Shabbos. But the problem is they were muktzah, they were set aside for the building. Vamla Tamida, so he told his students on Erev Shabbos, Tsu v'chashvu, go ahead and think about it, be intentful regarding these items, so that we could be able to sit on them tomorrow, that they shouldn't be muktzah. Think that, yes, I want to use this as a cheer for tomorrow, and that will make it not muktzah anymore. And Rebbe did not require them to do anything to it, to actually undo the muktzah status, to go ahead and, let's say, take it out from being prepared for building by separating it or putting pegs on it to make it a chair. No, just think about it. Rebbe Yechon argues on that story, and he says, no. Rebbe required them to do somewhat of an action to undo the muktzah status and to make it considered prepared muchan for Shabbos. Now, my amalahu, what did he tell them? In other words, what action did Rabbi Yochanan say that Rabbi required them to do to make it unmukta? And this is where the machlekes of the Lishitasim that we're talking about comes in. Rabbi Ami Amar, Rabbi Ami said, who that's the opinion of Rabbah, he said, he told them, go ahead and make them into boards. In other words, prepare them in the sense they could be fit for sitting, which is a complete action of creating it and turning it into a chair. Rabbi Asi Amar, no, all Rabbi told the students was, he said, go ahead and wipe them down. And that was enough for them to be considered being prepared for the Shabbos, and that is, it was dirty, it was a little muddy, and to make it fit for sitting. But tomorrow we'll turn it into the boards, and that is because with just a small little action, it creates it into the kli. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, who he says in the name of Rabbi Asi, and that's the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan. Again, this is where it's from, L'shitasam, in Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of the story that Rabbi said that they had to do some of an action. There we have the machlokes of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, which filters down to the machlokes of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef regarding how much is considered an action. Is something just a little action like wiping down the mud, which would be equivalent of just putting the rock on top of the barrel that is considered covering, and therefore it's part of the status of vessel? Or then no, he required them to actually make it into boards, which is the equivalent of Rabbah's opinion that no, just putting a rock on top of a barrel is not going to make it not muktz anymore, part of the kli. You have to do a full-fledged action. You have to go ahead and take the rock and make the measurements to be considered a cover for the kli. This is the lashitasim of the machlekes. However, regarding this incident of Rabbi, which we're discussing, itmar Rabbi Yisim and Shaul Omar, it wasn't talking about a stack of rocks, of stones that were used for building. Rather, Sivarshal Kairasab. It was a stack of beams, and again, not of stones. And what is that they would have beams, new beams prepared, stacked up one onto the other for building, that they shouldn't just be haphazard, because then they're going to get crooked and they're going to get ruined. It was talking about such a case. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shalom, he says it was a different case at all. It was Geshushal Svinahav. It was talking about these long sticks that are used by the sailors to push down into the water to see in front of the ship, to see how deep it is, to see if the ship could go there. That's what it was talking about. Those type of items is what Rebbe was talking about, that use these items to go ahead and prepare it either mentally or, like the way Rabbi Yochanan said, that you had to do somewhat of an action, which there we have a machlokes about. So again, we have three different scenarios possibly what the story was. Either it was a stack of bricks, always talking about a stack of beams, always talking about a pile of these sticks that are used by the sailors to figure out how deep the sea is. And that the Gemara says that Mandam Gishush Koshkin Svar, according to the one that says that it was talking about these sticks used by the sailors, they would say definitely, if it was talking about the case of the beams, the way you say this story, for sure it would be considered mutter if you went ahead and prepared it before Shabbos with this small little maisa of, let's say, wiping it down from mud. However, Mandam Svar, but regarding the one that says the story took place with the stack of beams, they would say that maybe the case of the sticks that the sailors use, that there it would be muktza. And that is because over there, they're very meticulous, they're very careful about these items, they're very expensive, they don't want to get ruined, and therefore there it's totally separated, be a dime. And there, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's usa to move it because of what's called muktza machmes chasar and kiss. Even Reb Shimon would agree that it wouldn't be enough just with this small little action of wiping it down from mud. So although it's saying that in this case of Rebbe, that he said, it, at least according to one interpretation, it was enough just to wipe it down from mud, and that would make it non-muktza anymore, that's only because we're talking about a stack of beams. But if it's talking about these expensive sticks that the sailors use to be able to figure out how deep the sea is, they would say that Rebbe would agree, and that is an opinion of Reb Shimon, that he holds that it's not considered muktza, he doesn't hold such a broad spectrum, he would agree that it is muktza of machmas chasar and kiss, that the very expensive items that the sailor use, and there you would have to do a complete action to undo it from the status of muktza that it has. So now Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that says, Zmayrishi kashru v'chuli, regarding these the branches of the vine that are attached to the jugs that they use to draw up water from the well. And now we said that you're allowed to fill it up although a branch would be generally considered muktza, but here where we attached it to the jug, now it's considered part and parcel of the jug, therefore it's not muktza, you could move it on Shabbos. So the Gemara makes a dik, an inference from the Mishnah, that it said that it's kashura, it's tied onto the jug. Kashura in la, kashura la. Only if it's tied onto it, but if it's not tied onto it from before Shabbos, so then it wouldn't be considered prepared that it's part of the jug, and then it would be muktza, and you wouldn't be able to move this branch that's being used as part of the jug, to be able to use it as leverage to pull up the jug from the well. And that the Gemara says, Le Masnin, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That which sounds like that our Mishnah shouldn't be like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya is learned in the Braisa. Charuya shel dekel, regarding the hard branches of a palm tree, shegadron la'etzim, that they were chopped, they were separated for wood, in other words, as firewood, v'nimlech alein liyeshiva, and then the person changed his mind, they wanted to use it to sit down on them. On that, the Tanna of the Braisa says, tzarech likshur, you have to go ahead and then tie it from before Shabbos for it to be considered something that's a pile that you're using as reclining on it. But if not, you won't be undoing the status of what it was, of what it achieved by when you cut it off, which was firewood, which is muktzah on Shabbos. No, ain't tzarech likshur, you don't have to tie it to consider it a non-muktzah now anymore, that it's not firewood. I wouldn't need that to be able to make it into the what I wanted, the status of a bench, and that I would be able to sit on it on Shabbos. And therefore, it sounds like it's not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because we find from our Mishnah that it's not enough just to go ahead and tie it on, to have it attached to it. In other words, regarding the kshira, the tying, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, all you need to have is to just change your mind or even do something, but not actually tying it on. And here, yet in our Mishnah, we find that for it to be considered a part of the kli has to be tied on. So there was something not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I'm Rabbi Sheishas, I felt Tim Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. You could say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Here we're talking about a branch that's attached to the father, in other words, to the vine itself. And therefore, that's why we say that if it's not tied on to the vessel, then we're going to say that it's muktzah, that we see it as part of the tree, which is something that you can't move. Therefore, it's only if it's tied on that there he would agree. But however, regarding firewood, which was already detached, that's enough. I don't have to actually tie it to undo the muktzah status that it had. But on that, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is talking about that it's attached to the tree, how could that you say that's the case of our Mishnah? It's attached to the ground. As something that's attached to the ground, even if it's tied from before Shabbos, it's usri. Now that I use something that's attached to the ground to touch a tree, because that's muktzah. And that the Gemara says, it's not a difficulty, because Lamata Megimah, we're talking about that the branches are lower than 3 tefachim from the ground. And for example, if let's say you want to draw water from a spring that's not so deep, then you're allowed to use a tree that's lower than 3 tefachim. As the Gemara in the last Perek in Erevin says, that if the roots were 3 tefachim high from the ground, then you're not allowed to sit on it. Which is saying that if it's lower than 3 tefachim, then you're allowed to sit on it. Then we never made the isser of moving a tree, of touching something that's mechubal karka. And therefore, yes, the case of a Mishnah could be a Shimon Gamliel. And that is the reason why it has to actually be tied, and it's not enough just to designate it for it, is because it's still attached to the tree. Now, if it's still attached to the tree, why isn't it muktzah? That's because it's lower than 3 tefachim, which we didn't give the status of muktzah to a tree that's lower than 3 tefachim. Ravashi Amir Rashi says, no, filatema betlusha, we're talking about that it's not attached to the vine anymore. Still, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree. And why is this case different than what we find by firewood that he says it does not have to be tied? Gizerish amiyiktim, because we're concerned that you might come to cut it. And that is because maybe tomorrow it's going to be too long for you. What you want to use for it is it needs to be shorter for you able to be use it as drawing the water from the spring. Now, since it's very soft and it's very easy to crack, to break, you're going to be creating a vessel when you break it to the size that you want it for. Now, that would make you liable for Issa Dereisa of Makkah B'Patish, which is completing a vessel. However, regarding the case of the charoyas, of the hard branches, which you want to use for sitting, there it doesn't apply such a gzera, because you don't have to make it a certain size to be able to utilize it in its form of drawing the water. Here, it's just to sit in it. It doesn't make a difference how big or small in it. And also, it's not so easy to break, as we find by these cases of our mission of the vine. And therefore, there it's enough. We just intend to say, yes, I want to use it for sitting enough of firewood. That would be enough, and you don't have to tie it. But in our Mishnah, Shimon Gamliel would agree that you have to tie it, because there it's a gezer, it's concerned that you might come to break it and be over it. Malacha deraisa of Makkah B'Patish, that's why he agrees, and it's different than the case that he speaks about by the firewood. So now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said, Pekaka Chaloin, regarding this item that's used to close the window, it's the closer of the window. We have a machlekes between the Balaz and the Chachamim, if it has to be that it's attached and hanging, then we view it as part of the window, and it's therefore you're not adding, it doesn't look like you're adding to the building, but if it's on the floor, then the Rebbe Elazar said that it looks like you're adding to the building, and that's aser. The Chum said, no, benkach, either way, it's okay, you can use it to close the window. And that the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Barchan and Rabbi Yechanan, Hakol Maidim, everyone agrees, both opinions are Mishnah. She'ein oisin oil ar betchila b'yamtiv, you're not allowed to make, initially, for the first time on Yamtiv, a temporary tent, a temporary dwelling. And you don't have to say that it would be us to do that on Shabbos, to spread out like a curtain on top of four walls or on top of four posts, and that is to make a shade itself or as a tent from to protect you from the sun. That's forbidden. We said that's usher to make a oil ara, even a, not a real building, even a temporary one. That's usher to do on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Their whole machlokes in our Mishnah was regarding adding on to an oil arai on Shabbos and Yom Tov. For example, let's say this curtain was already, imagine, for example, a shlok on the sukkah. It was already spread out and from before Shabbos, but there was a little space that was left over there. And the following day, you want to spread it out. That's similar to the case of our Mishnah of Pekak, of the closing that you're really just adding on to the building. The building is complete already. And that the Gemara says, Rabbi Loza, says you're not allowed to add on to a building on Yom Tov, and for sure you're not allowed to add on to a building on Shabbos. So therefore, if let's say you had this curtain on top of four walls or on top of four posts, and then most of it is open, but some of it is still rolled up. Now on Yom Tov, he says, you're not allowed to go ahead and roll out the rest because you're adding on to the building, you're finishing up the roof, you're adding on to a building. And therefore, the same thing would apply to this Pekaka Chalayin. If it's on the floor, it looks like that you're adding onto a building. Even the oil arai is usher to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Chacham say that you're allowed to add on Shabbos, and for sure you're allowed on in Yom Tov. That is, if it's already made the building, and you're just adding on, you're unrolling the rest of that covering, that of that curtain that's on the top, that's okay. And therefore, they have no problem with this Pekaka Chalayin, because even if it's on the floor and it looks like you're adding it, it's okay, because you're allowed to add some until oil arai on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, this is not a concern of mechzi. We're not concerned with adding on, in spite of the fact that it looks like it's on the ground and it looks like you're adding on. That's not a concern according to the opinion of the Chacham. And that is because according to the Chacham, that's exactly the case of adding on to a temporary oil is the same thing as the Pekaka Chalayin, is a temporary addition to the window, because it's not something that's kept there always, as we see that it's something that you take off and you use to open and close. And therefore, that is the equivalent, although in a different scenario, of adding on to oil arai. Either you're adding on to the whole oil is arai, is temporary, and you're adding on to that, or you have a binyan kavua, a real building, but it's a temporary addition of the building, which is the case of the Pekaka Chalayin. Either way, again, the Chacham hold, it's not a concern when it's a temporary addition to the building. Either if the building is a temporary or the addition is temporary, that's not a concern. That's why they hold in our Mishnah that Pekaka Chalayin, benkach benkach, whether it's hanging and it's attached, or even if it's slipping on the floor, it's not a problem, it's going to be mutter.